This podcast series for people living with tube feeding is brought to you by The Beat from Nutritia. This information is intended for people who are tube feeding at home, their families and their carers, including those registered on Nutritia Homeward. In this mini-series, we have partnered with Helen Hines. Helen is a dietitian specialising in home enteral nutrition in Sheffield. She is a member of the British Dietetic Association and also on the committee for the Parenteral and Enteral Nutritional Specialist Group. You will hear from both healthcare professionals and people who have experience living with tube feeding, and we will cover a range of topics, including what is tube feeding, how to talk to others about your feeding tube, and where to find out more information about tube feeding. This podcast series is all about supporting you with tube feeding at home. The information contained in this podcast is not intended to replace the advice or recommendations of healthcare professionals. Please consult with a qualified medical professional for any healthcare concerns or medical advice.
Hello and welcome to episode 4 of our Tube Feeding at Home podcast. Today we will hear from Billy and Lucy, who are parents of children who have feeding tubes. So before we start, I'm going to introduce both of our guests. Lucy is mum to Josh. Josh has a terminal illness in which he has swallowing difficulties. Initially, Josh had a nasogastric feeding tube placed, which is a tube that passes down the nose and into the stomach. And earlier this year, he had a gastrostomy tube placed, which is a tube that feeds directly into the stomach. Lucy will share with us today some of her initial apprehensions about these feeding tubes, but how she feels that these were the best thing to meet Josh's needs at the time. We are also joined by Billy. Billy is mum to Niamh, who also has a feeding tube. Billy is a nurse by background herself, and today she will share her experiences in caring for Niamh at home on tube feeding and also the support she has received from the community teams. So I would like to welcome you both to the podcast.
Thank you. Hi.
We're really delighted to have you both here today. How are you both feeling?
Excited, I think.
Good. Yeah, nervous.
That's completely understandable, but I know today you're going to bring so much experience and your reflections, which will really, really help people who are listening today. So to get us started, it'd be really helpful if we can think back to the start of your journey on tube feeding with your children. So Lucy, I'll come to you first with Josh. How is Josh doing at the moment?
Josh is doing really well, other than the fact that his illness is deteriorating. Actually, now having the peg fitted, he's probably healthier than he has been prior. So obviously whilst we're now getting his nutrients in and all of it, he is mainly peg fed now, only sort of taking a little bit orally. I feel that he has flourished in that respect because everything that we needed in him, and obviously he was becoming very dehydrated before, we've now getting everything in that he needs throughout the day, and his skin is brighter, his lips aren't as dry, all these issues that we were tackling at the beginning when we were sort of fighting to get them in him, so he does look a lot brighter and better. So yeah, he's doing really well, really well.
Thank you, Lucy. And We mentioned in the introduction that the decision to have a feeding tube placed for Josh, it was something that probably caused you quite a lot of apprehension at the time. Yeah. Can you bring us back to who was involved in those discussions and how you came to the point where this was a consideration for Josh?
Yeah, so it sort of started end of last year. Josh's swallowing was becoming quite difficult, and we already had the dysphagia nurse involved. So she'd come out and see him every sort of 4 to 6 weeks, and every time she came, obviously the deterioration was more and more. And I think to the day that she mentioned to me that she wanted to refer him for a gastrostomy peg, I broke down and I was like, no, I don't want him to have operations, I don't want him to have this, more so because I didn't know a lot about it. And I think that was the biggest thing. I didn't know what would happen, what it entailed, obviously the nature of the feeds and things like that. I was terrified, absolutely terrified. And I think if I'd have had a lot more knowledge prior to him being diagnosed, then not diagnosed, sorry, prior to him being needing the feeding tube, then I absolutely wouldn't have felt as sort of heartbroken as I was at the time. And that's all I can sort of describe it, is feeling heartbroken because my child going through the operation and my child going through having it and getting used to it and the changes for his body and things like that. And we tried nasogastric feeding and he couldn't tolerate it being put down. And unfortunately, at the time he had his first one, Joshua became really poorly with C. diff and just kept bringing it back up.
It sounds like such a hard time for you, Lucy. And as you said, it was probably a lot of those unanswered questions that made the whole experience a lot more worrying and concerning as a parent, because you understandably want the best and the safest thing for your child. Would you say that if you had to go back, is there anything that you know now that you wish you knew at that time?
I think all of it. I think I wish I just had, obviously Google is your best friend in situations like this, and I just wish I'd heard from other parents or heard from sort of, because at this point we didn't have community nurses involved, we didn't have the specialists involved that I probably could have got a better background knowledge on at the time. So I do really wish that we'd had them people speak to us before him having the operation, because obviously they were very quick to be involved after, which is fantastic, but I just wish they were there initially so I could have asked questions, or they could have just said it's okay and it will be okay.
Yeah, having that the information is so important before you go through any kind of procedure, and even more so when it's your child. Knowledge is power, as they say. But Billy, I'm going to bring you in at this point to hear about your experience when Niamh had her feeding tube placed. So could you tell us what you remember from that time?
Well, Niamh's always had some swallowing difficulties, but we could just about manage on like a sort of mashed soft diet. She's never had great oral intake either because of her epilepsy and things like that, and I don't know if she's funny about certain textures and stuff. So weight gain was always an ongoing issue with Niamh. It was always a massive struggle just for her to maintain her weight. And then anytime she got ill, it would just completely drop and tail off, and then we'd be back to square one. On the occasion that she got the PEG tube fitted, she actually was really, really unwell with sepsis, and she had a gastric volvulus, which is when the stomach is twisted. So we were in A&E with her. She was really, really poorly, had to stay on intensive care. And then the surgeon said, we're going to repair the volvulus today. I want to do it by inserting a peg. So he repaired the volvulus using the peg, and he literally sort of stapled the stomach in the right place using the peg, if that makes sense, so that it can't twist on itself. And he said, you know, I think a peg will be a really good thing for her, because then we can get the nutrients in going forward. And she was sort of in between having one before that anyway. We were like in discussions, and we had an appointment with a tube feeding nurse literally coming up that month anyway. So she was always sort of batting to and forth around this decision to have a peg. So at the time, you know, we were like, of course, you know, do it, do whatever you need to do. And we, you know, just wanted her to come out the other side, really, of the surgery. So she had the peg inserted. That was in February. It's now October. And yes, yeah, it's been unreal. If I'd have known how much easier it would make things, because she wouldn't drink enough. And this is even when she was well, you know, we always struggled to get oral fluids down her. She'd sort of like have just enough to not have to go in, but it wasn't really ever like, you know, a lot, you know, and I used to worry when it was hot weather and things about her being dehydrated, and I think it affected her epilepsy adversely, and you know, you don't know what the blood sugars are doing and things like that. So yeah, she's tolerated it and she's actually fully thriving now, and it's been a complete, you know, saving grace for Niamh, really.
That's really helpful, Billy. I can see there's kind of common things across what both of you have said. It is a time of a lot of apprehension and worry as a parent, but you now can see the benefits, you know, for hydration, nutrition, that it's provided for both of them. For both of you, if I'll come to you back to you, Lucy. If we've discussed some of the benefits for Josh and having the tube placed, what were the biggest challenges that you experienced at that time, and how would you say you overcame those challenges?
My biggest challenge was him coming out of sedation, because Josh doesn't tolerate sedation very well, and a child with the illness that Josh has can't have gas, has to be intravenous. So I think for that, and obviously the recovery for any operation is not nice, but other than that, I don't think we face many challenges after, really, because everyone's there, if that makes sense. Beforehand you don't know who's going to be there, and then all of a sudden you've got everybody involved, which is fantastic. But yeah, I don't think we really experienced many challenges. So
that's really helpful, Lucy. So would you say that it made it a lot easier having your consistent like healthcare professionals that now are like regularly involved, and you know who you can go to when you have any questions?
Definitely, and just having their emails and having their contact information and stuff, and knowing that these are the designated people, and obviously if somebody's not there, they'll pass you through to somebody else, and you just have that consistency. And I think the consistency is absolutely what you need in a situation like this.
And Billy, would you say you shared similar challenges, or what were the kind of key challenges you experienced and overcome when Niamh or tube placed?
Well, yeah, I mean, I had similar apprehension about it in some ways, especially when we were going back and forth between deciding to have one prior to her becoming very unwell. I just thought, is it going to be like trying to get a doctor's appointment? You know, if there's something wrong with the tube, is it going to be like, would we have to go to A&E? And obviously sometimes, you know, you might still have to do that, but we've not had to do that. We've always had the PEG nurses, and they've managed it completely in the community, and taught me how to manage it as well. But I thought, oh, am I gonna have to try and get an appointment? Are we going to be in the children's all the time, the children's hospital? All those problems have been managed by the PEG team, the PEG nurses, and they've been absolutely brilliant. And it's like Lucy says, if I'd have known that they would literally a phone call away. I mean, sometimes if I'm worried about it, if I think there's a problem, they can actually go into her school. So it doesn't affect my day at all. You know, they can go pop into Niamh's school. You know, they changed the end tubing for me before when I couldn't do it because it was leaking. You know, things like that. So knowing that they're just there, and even at the weekend, I phoned at 7 o'clock on a Saturday night or something because the end tube was leaking. I think she must chew it maybe when she's on her own. I don't know how we get.
We've had that.
Yeah. So, and they just talked me through it over the phone. I've been taught how to do it, but I just sort of panicked and like you do, and I forgot. And then she just taught me through it, the PEG nurse, over the phone, and it was so simple. But yeah, we had a really, really positive experience with all of the nutrition team and the PEG nurses. They've been really great, and they didn't expect me to just, you know, get it straight away. They were really patient. There was no pressure. I just took my time. No questions were stupid, you know, and they just went through everything again and again. And I needed a lot of reassurance, because obviously it's a hole in the stomach and it does try to heal. And there was one or two occasions where I thought maybe it was infected, and you know, I was really scared about that, but they were always there to reassure me, and they really helped me, really just totally held my hand throughout the whole process, and Neve's as well.
That's great, thanks. Is there any kind of advice that you would give to parents who are maybe having those initial discussions about their child having a tube placed? And what would your words of advice be? Lucy, I'll come back to you for that one.
I would say if it's something that your child needs, absolutely go ahead. Because I think once you've had it, you won't look back. Because... and obviously there is apprehensions, the operation, the aftercare, everything. But actually it's so easily managed with the correct teams around you that I feel that any parent going through that is so traumatic, because you never expect your child to need support with feeding or drinking. 9 times out of 10, they meet their milestones and then things can change. Or even babies may have additional needs that mean that they can't feed as well. And actually having the peg will make all their worries go away, because they're going to get, like I said prior, everything that they need, just, and there's nothing stopping them from getting it. And you don't have to worry. You're not sat there constantly watching your child. Are they choking when they're drinking? Are they choking when they're eating? And obviously with us, I do still try and give Josh the option of oral first. 9 times out of 10, he can't have it or he doesn't want it. So then I don't have to sit there and go, oh, what am I going to do now? He's not eating. Or, oh, he's choked on that. Now he can't have anything else. I go, okay, we'll put 200 mil through. And that's it. He's still getting everything he needs. And... We don't need to worry. It just takes the stress off so much. And I can't stress enough how beneficial it is for children that have swallowing difficulties.
And just when you mentioned there, Lucy, like, you know, it's an important part of the role of the dietitian and the nurse to see the child who's on the tube feed quite regularly, because things can change. And the plan that they start on coming out of hospital usually does change when they go home. So I think you've explained that really well there, that things can be adapted and
ours changes weekly.
Yes.
Ours does actually. She's still adjusting, and Neve's always had quite bad reflux, so we had to get on top of the reflux and adjust it accordingly. There's lots of options in there to play around.
I think we're the same. We've had times where Joshua can only tolerate a certain amount, then we do, at the moment we're only doing smaller feeds more continually throughout the day, because we're not actually using the pump at the moment, because we find that having 60 mil every half an hour, 120 mil every hour, is actually, he tolerates it better having little and often feeds rather than bigger throughout. I feel like the more he has, it just doesn't settle on his tummy as well. But every child is so different. My feeding journey is going to be completely different to Neve's feeding journey. Well, not mine. Joshua's feeding journey is going to be completely different to Neve's journey. But it works. And I think it works for everyone. But they just have their own schedule and things and amounts and things like that. And I just think there is an option for everybody.
And Billy Joe, I guess, any words of advice that you would give to any parents who are... considering having a feeding tube placed for their child?
I think we could have probably done with it years and years ago, really. The times I look back when we struggled so much, especially if she'd had a seizure, she used to just not eat for like 3 days and sleep. And looking back, you know, I could have just topped her up with some feed. And then it's like a vicious circle as well, because sometimes I wonder if the infections that she used to get and things, maybe a urine infection, etc., or the spike in seizures, maybe it was caused by being dehydrated and not having enough fluids.
It's great to hear from both of you how the journey's gone. So it started off with lots of apprehensions and worries, lots of questions, which is completely understandable, to now having a really clear routine with all that training and expertise. You've come to a point where it's part of your routine, and you're able to adapt that. As you said, Lucy, week on week things can change. Yeah. It's great that you're now able to manage it so well. So that brings us to the end of the podcast. I just want to say a massive thank you to both of you and to Joshua and Niamh for allowing us to hear their story today. I've absolutely no doubt that there'll be parents listening to this or carers that will find such benefit and inspiration from your stories. So before we sign off, is there anything else that you'd like to add to today's podcast, Billy?
Well, I think going back to how things change, we've had a variety of the feeds from Nutrition, and they've always been really understanding. You know, if you need to adjust your order, if you use the online ordering or on telephone, they've always been understanding about that.
Thanks, Billy. And Lucy, anything you'd like to add before we finish the podcast today?
I completely agree with everything that Billy's just said. I think the only thing that I want to say is don't be afraid, because to any parents or caregivers out there, I just think that this will benefit you, your child, or yourself as an adult to really thrive. As I stated prior, just making sure you get everything that you need to keep you well and healthy. And yes, it's a challenge at first because you're getting used to everything, but actually it becomes second nature, and one day you will feel how we feel as parents to know that it is okay, and that actually it will benefit you in many ways over the course of the journeys.
Well, thank you very much. I really enjoyed speaking to you both today, and for everyone listening, I hope you find benefit from what we've discussed. We look forward to you joining us in future episodes. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us, and nice to meet you, Billy.
Yeah, you too, Lucy. Yeah, thank you. Thanks.
To keep up to date with future episodes of this podcast series from Nutritia, make sure you subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. For more updates on the show, plus lots more resources and help on tube feeding, please visit nutritiahomeward.co.uk.